Would you open your Bibles to Luke 17? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that time of praise and worship. We pray that it was like the frankincense, all of the frankincense that would be sacrificed to you, Lord. That no honey, burnt honey, was mixed with it, Lord. No sticky messes. I ask, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me today, that those listening online and those in the church today would hear the truth that sets us free. The power of your word, it's piercing to the heart and to the marrow, Lord. It would discern and show us our intentions. Help us to be steadfast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke 17, verses 28 through 33, it says, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it'll be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. The title of this message is Going Back or Forward? With each passing day, this pot of water that we're all sitting in continues to inch up a degree. You understand that, right? Like the boiling frogs. And many are in a state of worry and doubt. That is exactly where the enemy of our soul wants us to be. So distracted and consumed by things we have lost, the potential of losing, that we become reclused and shut down. In fact, even though there are warning signs all around us, P.S., God gives warning signs before destruction, does he not? Think about Noah. Think about Pharaoh. There's many opportunities. We must open our eyes. Open our eyes. We see global mandates, medical solutions. We see even supply chains that even affect, it affects everyone. It affects everyone in the world. It affects even those who defy mandates. Do you know right now there is a meeting occurring with 136 countries worldwide, which the U.S. is a part of, looking to create a structure for a global tax for the world. This is all part of the UN, the Agenda 2030, in order to pay for its sustainable goals. We need to understand that part of the concept of digital verification for the medical solutions, those passes are the infrastructure to track all movement and give everyone a digital footprint. This is a control mechanism, and it's needed for Revelation 13, the mark, to be implemented. You cannot enforce a mark without control over the population, folks. And I don't care how pretty you want to paint that picture or all the positives that get spun from these things for society that may provide. It only takes the wrong person, someone with evil intention, to turn that which was thought for good for evil. Do you understand? And the Bible is very clear in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Conditioning is part of that concept. You condition the population to eventually impose your will. One of the things right now, the agenda here in the U.S. is to have IRS track all transactions that are $600 or more. Bank accounts that have $600 or more. And that got pushed back. So the goalpost, and it was rebranded to now it's 10,000 in annual transactions. That sounds better, right? 600, 10,000. Oh, it's annual though. Wait, 600 times 12 is what? 7,200. 10,000, is it really that far off? I listened to the official White House statement on all this, and this isn't a political message, folks, so I'm just setting the stage for you to understand because there's going to be a lot of scripture here. But the purpose of this is what we're being told is to supposedly get the 1% to pay their fair share. Really. The 1% billionaires to pay their fair share. So we're going to look at $10,000 in annual transactions. Come on. This is conditioning to know that your transactions are being watched. It's a surveillance state, folks, that's being implemented. Think about it now. When someone receives a medical solution, you get a card, right? You get a paper card. People keep it in their wallet. But next step is that card will become cumbersome. It could be fraudulent. So let's move it to a digital format. So there's less fraud. Makes sense. How about something else? Digital currency. What just happened this past week? ETFs became a big thing with the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies. It's legitimizing digital currencies, and the world is moving this way. Central banks across the world are creating digital currencies. They're testing them. I told you China was the leader in that. This moves us away from paper fiat currency. Again, foundations of something much bigger in play here. I think about Israel itself. They have adopted the green pass identification. Also, the Bank of Israel this summer worked on creating the digital shekel, and they were testing it. I'm just curious, when we read the book of Revelation, what's the centerpiece? Where does everything kind of occur? In Israel, right? Is it not the time of Jacob's trouble? Do you find it odd that they're paving the way with these surveillance systems? They're being used for that? Wouldn't you think they would be most leery of this concept, considering just less than 100 years ago what Hitler did to them? It's called deception, folks. It's called delusion. And people are willing to fall in line to look back at the past to get back what they once had. Only each step that we move along this, remember it's like a stepping stone, the past gets smaller in the rearview mirror. Yes, remnants of the past still exist, and that's to keep people in line so there's no complete anarchy or total rebellion. It lets people suck in that hopium. In all reality, what happens is the goalpost keeps moving. So, in fact, God is giving us warning signs. We are not children of darkness, but of the light, that we should understand the season we're living in. Do not be part of the delusion, walking blindly into destruction. We need to use critical thinking as we filter all the news and stories through a spiritual filter, using discernment. That's biblical, right? Not carnal thinking, discernment. God is speaking to us. He is warning us. The question is, are we taking heed of his warnings to get ourselves, to get our families, to get our houses in order, or are we going backward? Are we looking backward? Last week, I said in Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Right? Keep your eyes on the mark. Don't look back. What happens when you look back? You lose weight and you start to go off course. What was the opening text? Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Genesis 19, 12 through 29. Then the men said to Lot, have anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. I think about this past week, people in this church stood outside an abortion facility praying. And I think about all those babies, the millions of babies that have been slaughtered, and how their voices before the altar of God saying, "How long, Lord? How long, Lord?" So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. What does 2 Peter say? They're scoffers and mockers. This is joking. You're joking right now, right? You're just joshing me. And I'm pretty sure Lot wasn't saying it softly. He said, "We need to go." When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry. "You're still tarrying. Arise, take your wife and your two daughters. Leave your son-in-laws behind. They're not believing the word. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in punishment for the city." And while he lingered, and there are some that are still lingering, folks, God is trying to lead you and you're lingering. Your fence post sitting. The men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and sent him outside the city. And so it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains." Where do we look? We look to the mountains. That's where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. And Lot says, "Hey, you know, maybe not the mountains. How about this city of Zoar? Let us go there." In verse 23, it says, "The sun had risen up upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw and behold the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace." That's very reminiscent of Revelation 17 and 18 with Babylon, mystery of Babylon, Babylon the Great being destroyed, the smoke burning. "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent out Lot to the midst of overthrow him when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Just as it was in the days of Lot, Jesus warned what the end will look like." And we are in the Romans 1 society. Just as it was in the days of Noah, society is evil, thinks evil continually. Yeah, there's pockets or flashes of righteousness, just as Noah was righteous, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. We are in a society where good is called evil, and evil is called good. Evil is celebrated as it's good. It doesn't take rocket science to figure that out and see that, does it? It could feel like God has forgotten about us. There's times when we look at those things that are going on. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe his words are not true. That's what the enemy wants us to think. In fact, it feels like the enemy is winning, right? The enemy's gaining ground. The enemy has the believer in a state of worry and doubt. And that's part of the plan of Satan and the world system. It's literally trying to squash our faith, folks. The movements right now seem to want to contain your faith to a Sunday or within the four walls of the church building. You understand? Mm-hmm. You can have your faith, but only on when you go into worship. Don't live your faith outside. Just bring it into the church and then quietly put it away, tuck it away until next Sunday. Once the containment happens, the next step will be to get the message to conform to the ways of the world. Pursuing fables and not the truth. That's where we must not doubt God. We can question what's going on in the world. Again, it seems like the enemy's winning and their plans are succeeding, but that has to happen, folks. If the Antichrist is going to have a kingdom temporarily, things have to move that way. And then, even in the midst of that, we can hold on to the promise, but God. But God. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords from us. But he who sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. You can have your moment. You're going to have your moment in time. And he laughs at the enemy. They think they won. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. That's a scary thing to be spoken of by God with wrath. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations of your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. The victory is the Lord's. Amen. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in that way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Are you trusting in him? Are you trusting in God? We just heard how God wins. If he wins, then we win, right? Because we're in Christ. Now let's take it to the individual level for us. Go one more chapter over in Psalm 3. It says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Our enemy seems to be getting stronger. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say, there's no help from him and God. Feeling like a minority suddenly, aren't we? What do you think a remnant is? But you, O Lord, here's the pivot. Here's the focus. You, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I'm not going to look down. I'm looking up. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard from me his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. It is he who sustains us. It is he who keeps us by his power. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave, the Holy Spirit, it seals us and it keeps us and gives us strength. I'm pretty sure Jesus said, that well will not run dry. You're looking for strength. Don't look for it from man. Look to the Lord. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. I think about that, struck, just as the angels in Genesis struck those on the outside of Lot's door blind. They were trying to break in. They struck them blind so they could escape. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Hallelujah. What a promise. Because it is a time of great confusion. This is a time of shaking. We must hold fast to his promises. We need to be sure that our faith and trust is in the Lord now more than ever. It cannot be in this world. It cannot be in self. Your salvation is not in man. It is not in things. Your salvation is in the Lord and him alone. Jesus' word said in Matthew 10, 28 through 30, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? He's in control. He is sovereign. Amen?
Amen.
But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Yep, even mine. They are. He knows every hair on my head. That's how intimate he knows you. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows.
That's right. Hallelujah.
He's put us into the fold. He's brought us into the fold by which we cry, Father, Abba, you are a son and daughter of God. But Pastor, I'm having a hard time knowing how all this is going to play out. I don't know how I'm going to provide. What if I lose my job? I'm not sure what I'll do. What if I lose my job? What if I cannot provide food for my family? What if there's no supplies I can get? You cannot plan it all out, folks. You can do what God has directed you to do. He's blessed you with resources. Be smart. Think about what Joseph did when he saw the famine coming. We work within the abilities God has given us and provided. Then what? Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And he follows up with that, says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Remember Lot's wife. She looked back to the old life. She did not want to accept the reality it was coming to an end. Even with God's warning, this place is going to be destroyed. It's like she didn't want to accept it. Head in the sand. The lure of the past was too much for her to remain obedient. Let that settle in. The lure of the past was too much for her to remain obedient. What was she told? God's word spoke, do not look back. Her faith was not in the word, but it was in the world. Let's put in another example. Let's look at Israel. They were set free from slavery and bondage. The whips from Pharaoh. They were set free from Egypt, from the world, right? Egypt's like the type of the world. They literally witnessed the power of God with the plagues, and most of all, Passover, prophetically pointing to Jesus. They get to the Red Sea, and they say, what, there's not enough graves in Egypt for us? They just saw the power of God. They're at the Red Sea. Now the Red Sea opens, they pass through, and they see Pharaoh's army consumed. And what do? They rebel and build a golden calf to honor. They have no food to eat in the wilderness. They said, we had pots of meat and bread in Egypt. We should go back there. And God provides manna. They come upon the bitter water and they cry out, there's no water. They're complaining to God. And what does he do? He gives them sweet tasting water. They are at the threshold of the promised land. It's just along the horizon, and they choose to listen to the lie of the spies, and their hearts are hardened for lack of faith and trust of all that God has provided and delivered. And they missed it, and they had to wander in the wilderness for their lack of faith. This is a warning to us. Choose whom you're going to serve and whom you will put your trust in. Psalm 28, 6-8, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplications. We are a praying church. There's a lot of prayer that happens during the middle of the week. People are joining in on the text thread. I need prayer and testimonies of what God is doing for them. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. With my song, I will praise him. We sang the joy of the Lord is our strength today. The Lord is their strength, and he is saving the refuge of his anointed. We're anointed. And here's the hard part. Trusting in him even when it doesn't go your way or the way you thought it would go. We trust in God and his plan. Jesus' words, therefore, Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount, 25-34, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat? What will you drink? Or about your body? What you will put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why don't you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. I like that. Tomorrow is thrown into the oven. How is this world going to be consumed by fire? Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, just as he knows the hairs on your head. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is not like seek the kingdom of God and you'll be rich, but he will sustain you. It's not a health and wealth gospel, but he will sustain you. Your wealth is to come. Your treasures are in heaven, folks. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for day is its own trouble. The point is, we need to be exercising our faith, seeking his kingdom first, not tomorrow, but today. It is now faith. Now faith, today's faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Recall your faith. Every time you go into doubt and worry, recall your faith. Recall your faith. Look at examples. Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. Put that in relation to today. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Hallelujah. By faith. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho came tumbling down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot, the prostitute Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe. Why? Because she did believe. When she had received the spies with peace, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also the son of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. In my weakness, he is made strong. Hallelujah. They became valiant in battle. We are in battle, folks. We are dressed in the armor of God. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens, the enemies. Woman received their dead to raise to life again. Others were tortured. Think about all the martyrs. Remember Polycarp? We talked about that. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. That's looking forward, isn't it? That's looking to a promise. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You see, they were looking forward to the promise. We've received the promise. God, Jesus came, dwelt in flesh, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and he is coming back again. Look to them as they look to a promise. They looked forward, not backward. Remember Lot's wife. No going back. We are going forward. We have the promises of God. We are not to waver. We are to trust in him. When we breathe our last breath, we will enter into his presence and hear those precious words, "Well done. Well done." What happens in the next chapter? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The cross was before him. He looked beyond the cross. That's the joy that was there. Yes, the world is crumbling. Look beyond that. Jesus is the example. Let the joy of the Lord be yours, and let it be your strength. For the joy that was set before him, we can be partakers in that joy, even in suffering for him and his kingdom, which we are a part of. We're ambassadors. All of heaven is cheering you on. Think about that. When you're feeling down, know that heaven's roar is cheering you on. Now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to throw in the towel. Don't give up sharing the truth. Don't you stop praying for that family member, that coworker, that friend. Don't muzzle your mouth. Be bold for Christ. Be bold. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. He is with you. He is for you. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He has given us the power for these days. In the last days, his Holy Spirit will pour out on all flesh. We are ready to be used in a mighty way. And I look to the example in Acts 4 when they healed the lame man. And he was sharing, Peter was, and it says they're sharing the words. And what happens in verse 4? Chapter 4, verse 4, it says, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to believe about 5,000. The fields are white unto harvest. And it came on the pass. Let's stay in that chapter. Next day that the rulers, the elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John Alexander, as many were the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to him, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, by this man, by him, stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation of our faith. Nor is there salvation in any other. You can proclaim that with truth, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is the gospel truth, folks. And what do they see? Verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. That is what the Holy Spirit can do, folks. You don't have to go to seminary to proclaim the truth. If you would just let the power of God flow through you, they realized that they had been with Jesus. Can others say that about you? Have you experienced Jesus? Do they see Jesus in you? Do they hear about Jesus from you? And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. What shall we do with these men? What are we going to do? What are we going to do with you guys? So it spreads no further among the people. Let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Listen, earth dwellers, man could plan all they want. You're either in the fold, you're a sheep, or you're of your father, Satan, right? Just one or the other. And pawns of Satan, you need to understand, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell will not prevail. The victory was already won. So they called them and commanded them to speak not at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to him, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It just had to come out of them. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, and now he's healed. And being let go, they went to their companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. And what did they quote? Psalm 2, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand against the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles to do whatever your hand and your purpose were determined to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Think about this today. Look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Can you speak with confidence? Peter was not educated. He was equipped with the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me you can't, because you can. Lord, give us boldness to proclaim the truth in these last moments. To keep focus on him, his kingdom. To not look back. Remember Lot's wife. As we close, Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brethren, look, this is like looking forward in all purposes here. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Lot's wife couldn't do that. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What joy that it's ahead, folks. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. Press on. And if you are one that is hoping in the past, if you are looking backward at what you had, I'm telling you, you can change that today. You can change that today. You can have a forward-looking hope. And it's an eternal hope. And it's in all caps. But you have to bend your knee. You have to bend your knee to Christ. And it's a hope that will take you into eternity. And in order to do that, you must A, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's the payment. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You must believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Just call on the name of the Lord. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Don't give up on your family members. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. And it's scary, the thought of where they're going to spend eternity. Don't give up. Someone was bold enough to continue preaching to you and sharing with you until you finally bent your knee. Do the same for your people that God has put in front of you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. The power of your word. And the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside us. That we can proclaim with boldness. Like Paul. Like Peter. Like the disciples. For such a time as this. Give us opportunity this week to share you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.